Good morning, everybody. It's fantastic to be back here. It's really good to see everybody and see everybody's shining faces and smiling eyes this morning. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, and it certainly is a joy to be back here in Mansfield and get to share a message with you today. I'm going to take a break from the sermon series that we've kind of been building, and I felt like this message, God put it on my heart this week to just kind of preach this message, and so I'm really excited to bring it, and we'll probably go back to the series next week with Dylan coming back from his little hiatus out in Kansas. So I'd like to begin by imagining, we've all been a fan or at least watched baseball for most of our life, and when somebody hits a home run ball and you see the person running in the outfield or the center fielder's running and he's running and he's running, and he gets the wall and the ball goes over and the umpire or the announcer would often say, oh no, he's run out of real estate. He has nowhere else to go. And so I like this. I think that we see this commonly in the Bible too, and we especially see this in Exodus 14:10. And that is when Moses is leading the Israelites out of the wilderness. And so I think that's where our text will start today, and we're going to read starting in verse 10, and it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Then in verse 13, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians see you today and you will never see, today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you and you need only to be still." So this passage is really significant because these Israelites have been in slavery for many, many years. They're hanging out under these Egyptians and they're just stuck. They don't really have anywhere to go. And so God charges Moses and he goes and he's like, you know what? I'm going to bring these people out of slavery and into the Exodus. And we're going to go through the wilderness and we're going to have this great freedom. And then later on, we'll find out, you know, later on the year, Jubilee will come and all of these amazing things for these Israelites that are struggling. And so important background stuff here is that the Israelites were on their way to freedom. They knew that freedom was coming, yet because of what was going on, you know, at one point they were disobedient and they had to eat bread or manna and they got tired of manna. And I think that's pretty interesting because how many times have you eaten a steak dinner and it's like, oh man, I'm tired of steak. I just want, give me some top ramen. I don't do that very often, so that's always an interesting thing to me. And then we have Moses is the one leading them. And, you know, I could preach a whole sermon on following your calling and Moses trying to run away and God having to light a bush on fire just to tell him, Moses, you're going to do this. I don't care how much you try to go away. And so that's significant there. And we know that they've been wandering in the wilderness. Now, there's not really any complete evidence of what the wilderness is. Most scholars seem to think that it's just a desert, and they're walking through the desert. And I can tell you from many military missions of wandering in the desert, it's not very much fun. So I can't imagine that they were really enjoying themselves. And they come to the Red Sea. And when they come to the Red Sea, they're like, where are we going to go? And we know that Pharaoh had great chariots and all of these things, and he had the army chasing them, and then they come to the sea, and they've done the same thing that our baseball player to start with has done. They've run out of real estate. They have nowhere to go. And so this new thing that they've been preaching at Ozark or teaching us to do is to come up with a dominant thought, basically a thought that's going to convey through your message. And so what I've come up with today for that is what do we do when we feel like we have no more real estate? That's the question I want to pose to you. And so I think the first thing to do here is that we cannot forget our past. See, the Israelites, they didn't allow it to help them. So if we look at the beginning of the text, it's saying, they're saying, why would you even bring us here, Moses? Bring us back to slavery. We want to be in slavery. We don't want to be here in freedom. And so I think that our past should be used as a tool for learning, but it shouldn't be something that we try to live in. Like, they should have learned, you know, hey, slavery is not that great. Let's go on and do better things. Yeah, and I think that another key point here is that we should reflect on it, but not dwell on it. I think there's a difference in those two words. Reflection could be like maybe we think about a time that was fun, but let's not think about, hey, we should go back there. And it's challenging not to do that. And I think it's really important that we don't, though. And then I think that if we let our past consume us, it can begin to manipulate our minds. We can begin to think about things. I don't know if you guys have this experience, but I often think about things that have happened in my life that maybe not have been favorable, like the struggle of being in basic training and the uncomfort of that. And I think, you know, oh, that wasn't so bad, you know. That would have been fun to go back, you know. But really, no, it wouldn't. I wouldn't want to go back there. But now I can look at it, you know, 8-10 years later and say, hey, that would be fun to go do that again. Really, it wouldn't. So I think that in a way it's kind of manipulating my mind to tell me that it's okay, you know, that would be fun to go back and do. And you, when you look at things in your past, you need to look at them in a way that can be a learning process and not look at it in a way that will be like, oh, that was fun, let me look at the highlights of it and think that that's what the whole process was, because it really is never that way. And I think the second point I think that we need to follow is to remember where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from several aspects, and I think the first one is we need to be diligent in our prayer life. We need to remember to pray daily, and we need to be cognizant of what we pray about. If you look anywhere in the, even like in the book of Acts, the early church, they were built on prayer. And I think that that's something that I know I personally am not the best about. And so I'd like to encourage you with that as one of the things that we need to do. And we need to read the word. And so that's something that I really do well. But I think that as a church, that's kind of went away a little bit. I'm not necessarily saying this church, but as a church in general, we're not as diligent about doing that. And I think that there's a really interesting take with that from being a Bible college student. You know, often we read the Bible a lot for classes. Like, I'll read a Bible for a homework assignment. And so I diligently pray, let this be an appoint for me to grow closer to you. And let me view this as more of your word rather than a textbook or something that I'm doing just to check the box, so to say, because we're such a check the box culture. Let me check the box and say I did this. Let me check the box and say I did this. My mom and dad still, and I'm sure all the men can relate, or I'm sure everybody can relate, my mom and dad still do the old honey-do list, and my dad's always trying to check the next box. Let me check the box. Let me go cut the grass. Check. Let me go water the flowers. Check. Let me go do this. Check. And it's like, how many times do we just look at our daily task and, oh, there's my Bible. Let me read it. Check. We need to stop trying to check the box and focus on the word for what it is. Set time every day to read it for the value of it and not try to just check a box. And I think we have to simply, like, in our moments of weakness or maybe even you could almost call it unbelief, we have to just simply stop and remember that God is there for us and he will help us through it. And we see this in this passage. The Israelites are weak. They're saying, we don't want to walk anymore, Moses. Let us just go back. Let the Egyptians capture us. We're done. We don't want to believe. And Moses is simply making a cry, have faith. God has brought you through this. For so many days, we've walked so far. Why would you go 80% to quit in the last 20? Finish what you started. I think that there's a funny story, too, with this that my mom and dad used to do when we were kids. And I often, I don't really enjoy it now, looking back on it. But they would say, you know, they would have us wash dishes, and then if you didn't wash all the dishes, or if you wash them and not all of them were clean, they would pull all the dishes out of the cabinet. We'd wash every dish in the cabinet. And so it's like, why would you go through doing 80% of something when you could just do it all the way and be done the first time rather than spend that extra 20%? And see, the Israelites here are like, let's stop before we finish. And God doesn't call us to go 80%. He calls us to go the full distance. And so I think that that's something that we need to consistently remember to help us grow and live our lives. But at last, there's good news. And the first point that I have is that in Christ there's victory. We remember that before Jesus was the incarnation, we talked about Adam and Eve a few weeks ago, and that their sin was the separating point from us and God, and that through Jesus coming, he was he didn't have to make the sacrifice, but the sacrifice he made allowed us to become back in union with God. And so that's an important thing to remember. And I think that this is an important moment to talk about fellowship with people with amongst the church body, that when we don't feel like we can go the other 20%, we should seek encouragement from those that are closest to us. That's what we're here for. That's why we're established as a church body. That's why if you look in Acts, and right after the Pentecost, the people of the first church are going and they're supporting the widows, and they're supporting all these people, and they're going out and selling their stuff and giving the money away because they're trying to promote that, seeking help within one another, seeking help within the church body. And I think that that's critical, that we need to do that. And I think that there's a funny analogy that I like to look at. I'm sure you guys have heard it, that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And I think that that's a little misleading, because I think often, actually, the grass on the side that you're on is a lot less greener. But it's like, are you willing to cross the barrier? Are you willing to walk to the ocean and have the faith for God to part the seas? Are you willing to get to that point where you don't have any more real estate and say, hey, God, can you give me just 5 more feet? Can you give me just a little bit more feet so I can go catch this baseball? Can you give me a little more feet so I can apply for one more job before I get a job? Can you give me a little more feet so I can go in and do this? Can you give me a little more strength so I can go in and serve in this area? Can you give me the courage to go and confront this person about them, maybe just bringing the gospel to them? And I think often we just stop when we get to that point where we don't have 5 more feet anymore. We get to that point where we see the ocean or the sea or the wall or whatever it may be, and we turn around and we do what my grandfather would say is tuck your little tail between your legs and run the other way. And I think that, you know, it's pretty nuts to me. I like this analogy of a cattle. I grew up on a farm. I grew up working with cattle my whole life. And if you know anything about cattle, they love to try to get out of a fence. They will figure out any way they can to just get out of a fence. And no matter what they do, they're looking for, how can we get out of here? And they may see 5 acres of river, and they're going to look for that one spot that maybe has 3 inches that they can just weasel their way on out and get through that fence. So how come a cow on a farm can do that, but we can't do that when we're seeking victory in our own God? How come we can't walk down 5 acres of fence line to find that one hole so we can walk through it to get closer to God? Yeah, and I think that that's the critical thing we need to really need to do. And I think that we need to, so the first deal here is that we need to seek God first. We need to always, when we have stuff or we feel like we see that water line or that fence line, we need to ask God, hey, what can I do to better prepare myself, and how can I do this? Because often God's going to reveal an answer to you. It may not be the, hey, I'm just going to part the seas for you and you can walk right through. It may be like, hey, you're going to have to walk 5 miles down this fence line to find the hole. But there is a hole, and God will point you that way. And I think that we also need to remember that all things come from God. And so if there's a hard time, maybe God didn't put that necessarily. Often I think a lot of our difficult times, our struggles, we kind of put on ourselves. But there's often times that maybe God's using something that you've done to yourself as a teaching moment. And so I think that we often need to remember that even if it's a bad thing and it's in our lives, God is going to use that, and we can use that. And so that's a really important thing to look at every time. And so I just want to wrap my message up today with a challenge. I want to challenge us to look forward, look down the fence line to find the hole, and ask God where the hole is when it seems like we've run out of real estate, when it seems like we're on a fence with a never-ending line, when it seems like we're at a river where it just can't part. We need to. I challenge you to lean onto God and ask Him, God, where is the hole? God, where can you separate the water for me, or where do I need to go to separate the water? Let's end today in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the ability to come and to worship with these fine folks in Mansfield, and that I get the opportunity to come up here and share a message about hope, and that I want to ask that you help us to just earnestly seek you and to find that hole, so to speak, and help us to look for ways that will bring us closer to you. And I just thank you that we could all be here for the ones that could be here today. I ask for prayers for Rick. We know that he has the virus and that it's not a fun thing to have, and we hope that he can become healthy. And I hope that as we leave today, that you can help us find a bit of Sabbath to rest in your grace and in your presence today, and that we can just go on about our weeks and in doing so glorify you and to bring love and power and glory to your name and everything that you've done for us. It's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen.